this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's September 10th, 2024. You're listening to a brand new episode, or watching a brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitch channel. That's right. Fired up the Twitch channel for the first time in 2 years, thanks to good old Twitter making to have the premium account to stream live anymore. But hope everybody's doing well tonight. Webby, what's going on?
It's I feel like it's been ages since we've had a game to talk about. We don't have a game to talk about, really, except for one coming up, but
have a game to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. excited. As I kind of said in our chat offline, it's, you know, being from where we're from in Northern Indiana, we grew up, you know, all of our news channels came out of South Bend. And, you know, you kind of grew up, you know, a lot of our teachers were Notre Dame fans. They didn't go there, obviously, but they were massive Notre Dame fans. And so it was that whole thing of like, you know, you hated Notre Dame football the most, you hated Indiana basketball the most. And for the last 10 years or so, we haven't really had, you know, games to get fired up for against Notre Dame. And so it feels really good to fire up the hate bandwagon again, because it's been missing in my life.
Oh, it hasn't been missing in my life.
It's just like getting ready for a game to like, can't really, like, you can talk trash, but it's like, there's no game to kind of like game. And if you're watching live the game in your background, the 04 game, which was really fun to go to school, that following Monday.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to be there that day. And that was still one of my favorite Purdue games of all time. It's definitely on my Mount Rushmore of Purdue football games for sure. And made my love for Kyle Orton grow even more.
Yep.
we will get much deeper into the Notre Dame Purdue talk as it's the renewal for the Battle of Shillelagh, the rivalry this week, the 88th meeting all time in the series. But first, let's talk about the Irish, who were in action over the weekend. They paid $1.4 million to have the Northern Illinois Huskies out of the Mid-American Conference come into Notre Dame Stadium. And Northern Illinois not only left with $1.4 million in their pocket, they also left with the school's first top 10 victory in their pocket.
Mm-hmm. And now a ranking.
And a ranking, yes. Yes, top 10 and a top 5.
And top 5, yeah. Yeah.
16-14 Northern Illinois. It was impressive what Ethan Hampton and the Huskies did there.
Yeah, it was one of those games, you know, going into it, thought maybe Northern Illinois could maybe give them a game for a little bit, as these, especially early in the year, you kind of see these MAC teams, which Northern Illinois, they're, you know, historically a pretty decent little program. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Purdue fans, as much as we try and forget it, they came into Ross-Ade about 10 years ago and absolutely whooped our butts. Mm-hmm. Was that the year they went to the ABCS Bowl?
Yes, with Jordan Lynch as quarterback.
Yep. And just they made a bowl game a couple years ago, if not last year. They made one last year. Yeah, they're no punching bag, that's for sure. But I thought, you know, they'll give them a half, and then Notre Dame will kind of flex its muscle once they realize that they can't really mess around with this team. But those pesky Huskies just didn't go away.
Yeah, the Boilers are 0-2 all time against Northern Illinois. The matchup you were alluding to was a 55-24 loss on September
28th. Pretty sure we were like 6th row in that game as a student section. That was not fun.
Their other loss was a 0-9 September 19th home loss, 28-21. I remember Aaron Valentine returned a punt for a touchdown that game, but also muffed one, if not two, punts that killed.
I don't remember that game. Yeah.
So, I don't think Purdue has the Huskies upcoming anytime soon on the schedule. And I bet Notre Dame doesn't for a long time. Even though Notre Dame does have another MAC team next week after the Purdue game, they host Miami, Ohio.
Okay.
This is their second road game in 3 weeks, traveling to Rossade. But I believe they only have one true road game left after this one. And it's the last week of the season against USC.
It's USC. Yeah.
Their games against Army and Navy are neutral site games, which Notre Dame will have 90% of the crowd of both.
Is that like the Shamrock series is one of them or whatever?
Army is, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Let me see. I want to see where that game's at. I know the Navy one is at Baltimore.
That's pretty cool.
It's usually at Baltimore, at least. Let me see.
Yeah.
Army, yeah, November 23rd.
I think Miami of Ohio was actually predicted one of the.
Why do I want to say Yankee Stadium? I'm not finding it, but why do I want to say it's Yankee Stadium?
I don't know. Notre Dame fans, Yankee fans, kind of the same people.
Watch it. You're not wrong, but watch it.
Let's see here.
It is Yankee Stadium.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Which they played in Yankee Stadium not too long ago because they did the pinstripe jersey.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. They did do that. Yeah.
So, but once again, a heck of a win by Northern Illinois. I know we've talked about Ethan Hampton a little bit on this podcast, kind of jokingly, because for everybody that doesn't know, you, myself, three out of our friends started a College Football 25 online connected dynasty against each other, and we all had to be a MAC school to start off with.
Yep.
You chose Northern Illinois, so you became real familiar with Ethan Hampton and their roster. And you said you even got a little nervous watching the game.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've actually felt like really invested. I was like, I know most of this roster, which is crazy. Which is also just really cool that the game can actually now do that. I know in our group chat, I got a little frustrated with Ethan Hampton, his little noodle arm over there. But man,
he made some good throws.
He stood in the pocket, got a hit, and kind of was a gamer at the end.
Yep.
So I'm gonna say we're about to enter our third year in this franchise, and he's gonna be gone. So I'm already missing what I had. They had pretty solid. I like their tight end, Ontario Brown, their running back, is nice and shifty. He was really good. Yeah. They had some solid defensive backs, but overall, like, they definitely have experience, which is, you know, it's always kind of scary when these mid-majors, I'm thinking basketball now, but, you know, these Fs or these, you know.
Non-Power 4.
Yeah, non-Power, G5 schools, I guess. Yeah, G5, you know, they have a lot of experience that can be, especially if they have a lot of experience together, that can be pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys have been in the program for a while. So credit to that coach, man. That was awesome to see at the end. A guy who played for Northern Illinois. You can just tell him just meant so much. Fort Wayne.
He went to Bishop.
Oh, yes. I didn't know he's from Fort Wayne. I know he's from Fort Wayne. That's awesome.
Yep.
Just to kind of see. I mean, it's what makes college football and just college sports awesome is when you see, like, again, like the Davids overcome the Goliaths, especially when it's not your team being the Goliath. But just what makes college sports awesome and college, especially college football, because it's, I feel like it doesn't happen nearly as often as basketball. I mean, basketball, I mean, obviously fans are pretty familiar with it now in the last couple of years, but even, like, you know, we saw, with James Madison going to Michigan State first game of the year this last year in basketball, upset in the Breslin Center.
Yep.
You know, saw Evansville beat Kentucky at Rupp Arena a few years ago. Like, you see it, you know, at least probably a couple times early in the season.
Yep.
But football, I feel like it's very, I mean, Appalachian State, Michigan was probably the one that we remember the most in recent memory.
Because football, even though it could be a fluke where you beat the team one time out of 10, you still have to be completely better that day to beat the team. Whereas basketball, you could be a lot better than the other team to have a cold night shooting.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
with football, guys in foul trouble or something. Yeah. In football, the physicality or just the size matters. Like in basketball, I mean, as Purdue fans have seen, you know, just because you have the biggest people, it doesn't mean anything because, you know, guys can, if a guy's hitting 35 footers, there's not a lot you can do or a guy gets, you know, in foul trouble, whatever. But yeah, football, it's like, you know, your defense. You know, I thought for sure that Notre Dame's defensive line would just overpower Northern Illinois' offensive line, and kind of vice versa. But they stay strong. It was awesome. It was really cool to see, and kind of thought there for a second that the Huskies were going to get screwed there at the end with officiating.
She was easily over the line.
I didn't understand that, and then obviously that whole thing gives Notre Dame an extra time to not waste the timeout. Mm-hmm. So it was. I thought for sure, because, like, I think even our good friend Josh in our group chat said that Notre Dame is still going to win this game. I was like, there's no way. And then like all of a sudden, like, oh my God, they actually might get a chance to get a field goal. And they tried at the end, but it was, you know, too far and obviously got blocked at the end. But yeah, it was I'm sure like a lot of Purdue fans, I was at one point, I was like, I don't know if I want Notre Dame to win this game. So I'm not sure if I want a pissed off Notre Dame coming into Rossay, but by then I was like, screw it. Like, who cares? Like, it's not going to change a whole lot. It's not like Purdue, I think, any less of Notre Dame and, you know, whatever it may be. But yeah, I was really excited for Northern Illinois.
Oh, yeah. And I think I've been on record saying this on this podcast before. You know, if I had to list my five most hated teams overall in sports, it goes Indiana basketball.
Yep.
And for me, Notre Dame football 2, Indiana football 3. And then as a Broncos fan, it's the Chiefs or Raiders back and forth. Ask me on the week and it'll differ. Yeah. And if Harbaugh keeps up his crap, the Chargers are going to be right there pretty quick.
The top three would probably agree with it too. Yeah. It's one of those things where I know you've said on this other podcast. My wife doesn't hear me, but if Notre Dame and Indiana played football, I'd probably cheer for Indiana. Just not watch it and like go watch.
I'd
go join like a knitting class or something for the day, just not watch football, which is gonna have to happen in about 5 years when they actually do play each other.
If it sticks, because 2030 and 2031, I think they play, but it's really weird that they haven't played since 1988.
Strange.
They've played balls. Both teams have played Ball State numerous times since they played each other. So what did you see in the Irish at all that you think Purdue could take advantage of or exploit a little bit?
I was surprised that their secondary wasn't – again, Northern Illinois only put up, 16 points. But I thought, Ethan was able to kind of sling the ball around a little bit. So I think if Hudson can – spread it out, get the ball out quickly to these guys, and hopefully Purdue can use their newly acquired speed to set up the run for Mockaby or Love to kind of hopefully bust a couple. Because I think that's going to be the key thing is if one of those elements is gone, Purdue's in for a long day.
Right. I was
– honestly, their offensive line really struggled.
That's exactly what I was going to get.
A MAC team.
It's a smaller – offensive line for Notre Dame than we're used to, a little more inexperienced because last year that was the meat of their team, the nucleus of their team, if you will. And I mean, they produce NFL linemen and tight ends like crazy. I was shocked how easy Northern Illinois was getting pressured on Riley Leonard. I think Purdue could do the same. Purdue does love to blitz at least one weekend. And we know from last year, Purdue loves the blitz. Let's be honest. And Ryan Walters at Illinois loved the blitz. It's just part of his scheme. One thing that does worry me, I know Leonard's taking the heat from Notre Dame fans and a lot of college football analysts around the country right now for his stat line. He's 38 for 62, 321 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Notre Dame's 1 of 5 teams nationally that has not passed for a touchdown, which if I had to make a bet, I bet they passed for at least one against him. But what worries me about him is his ability to make plays with his legs.
Yeah.
He has 23 rushes for 79 yards and 1 touchdown on the year. His long rush is 11, but just like the ability to make a 3rd and 5 or 36, nobody else can pick up first downs. So that was the one thing that was disappointing. The only thing I can think of in our performance against Indiana State was we did let their quarterback run against us a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you Riley Leonard's a better runner than that guy.
So. Yeah. And I hope – Walter's even said in his press conference, they got to contain Riley. But I'm pretty sure going into the Syracuse game last year, it was pretty known that their quarterback could also run. I feel like he ran for
– oh, he killed us.
A billion yards. Like, and there's one time he ran for 40 yards before he got touched, and he kind of just bailed out on the run. Just
very end of the game.
Because he had to. Yeah, because he could. That's what I'm worried about is just like, you know, we say we're containing, but then like, you know, are we selling out and then there's nobody within 15 yards of him. And like you said, he can pick up that 3rd and 4, with no problem or, you know, a 1st and goal, a 3rd and goal situation, that type of thing. Their running back is really good. He's big. Yeah,
Jeremiah loves a stud.
He's averaging 6 yards a carry.
He's 28 yards per carry. He's 25 carries for 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. He had that long run of 34 yards the other day where he hurdled a dude.
Yep. Yeah, so. That was impressive.
He's good. Jadarian Price can carry the ball, 12 carries, 68 yards, one touchdown. His long's a 47. He did that against Texas A&M. So if I'm Purdue, I'm loading the box. I'm daring Riley Leonard to beat you with his arm.
Yeah, I would exact same.
So, I mean, we know Notre Dame's got a good defense. Jack Kaiser and Xavier Watts lead the way there. Xavier Watts might be the best safety in the country. Kaiser's been a four-year player for Notre Dame, a linebacker from Pioneer High School, former Mr. Football, which still makes Purdue fans mad that he won it over David Bell.
Yep.
But Bo Collins leads them in receiving with 10 receptions for 107 yards. No touchdowns, of course. Jaden Greathouse has 8 receptions for 67 yards. Chris Mitchell, 4 for 44. Tight ends, only 4 combined receptions from Notre Dame.
Which is wild. Tight ends
are Mitchell Evans and Cooper Flanagan. Yeah, that is wild. Even though Mitchell Evans has 2 for 26 and Cooper Flanagan 2 for 25. So they're averaging double digits per reception. Mm-hmm. Cameron Day, a loyal viewer on Facebook here. Question of the night. Could 42-year-old Taylor Stubblefield run faster than Cam Allen? Webby, thoughts?
I think so. I mean Taylor's he's coaching. Where's he coaching at now? Is he still
Penn State anymore. I think he's at Air Force, but let me find that out.
I'm sure he's still working out. I'd put money on Stubblefield. Why not?
Let's see here. He is the wide receivers coach for the Air Force Falcons.
Okay.
He has been as a coach. He's been wide receivers coach for Central Washington, grad assistants, wide receivers coach for Eastern Michigan, wide receivers coach for Illinois State, wide receivers coach for Central Michigan, wide receivers coach for New Mexico, wide receivers coach for Wake Forest, wide receivers coach for Utah, wide receivers coach for the Toronto Argonauts in the CFL, wide receivers coach once before for Air Force, wide receivers coach for the U, wide receivers coach for Penn State, and wide receivers coach now again at Air Force. Cameron Day says, show the 97-yard touchdown against Notre Dame. The game's playing here behind me, so it'll be coming up here in a little bit.
Yeah.
It's only in the first quarter right now with the score 3-0 Purdue with 7 minutes and 56 seconds left in the first quarter.
So. Tyrone Willingham, forgot about that guy.
Yep. Had a heck of a first year at Notre Dame and then kind of all went downhill from there. So this was his last year. This was his third and last year at Notre Dame. 2004 was then. Okay. Good old Jabba the Hutt. Charlie Weiss came in 2005 and coached him from 2005 through 2009.
Yeah.
Then Brian Kelly from 2010 through last year was tied Rockne for the longest tenure in Notre Dame history. Mm-hmm. And now Marcus Freeman's in his third year, which Marcus Freeman has some history with Purdue, being the linebackers coach and then the co-defense coordinator under the Hazel years, the dumpster fire era that we all try to forget about from 2013 through 2016. And so he was at Ross-Ade the last time Purdue hosted Notre Dame, which was 2013, and a hard-fought effort by Purdue, a touchdown loss that night after getting annihilated by Cincinnati 2 weeks before and barely escaping Indiana State the week before. Purdue put up a pretty good effort against a ranked Notre Dame team. Mm-hmm. What do you think the mood's like there for the Irish country, Irish nation? I don't know what they call themselves. Irish fans around Marcus Freeman.
I think they're definitely getting a little worried because this is not the first time that something like this has happened. Was it 2 years ago they lost to Marshall?
Yep, his second game. He started off 0-2 in his career. Then later the same season, they lost to a 3-9 Stanford team at home.
Yep. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's third year, things are still kind of, you know, happening. So it'd be really interesting to see because, like, I mean, again, going to Saturday's game, you know, after they beat Texas A&M, was like, oh my God, this team is, you know, locked for the playoff. You know, they've got, you know, again, they've only got two more true road games left. The five spot is theirs to lose, the five seed in the playoff, which is probably the best spot for them because you play the a 12 seed, which is usually a G5 opponent. You'll play it at home. And then you're playing, I think, like the 4 seed, which is probably You know, our team is probably ranked in the teens to 20s. But then all of a sudden now your spot's kind of in jeopardy because of this. But I think, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like Marcus Freeman a lot. I think he's going to be, I think he'll be fine. I think the players love him. I think he's an excellent recruiter, as we saw. I mean, he was able to get guys at Purdue during that horrible tenure. Some really good defensive players. But I think, yeah, definitely, like, I mean, if they lose, if Purdue beats them, then, oh boy, that his seat's going to get a little warm. Warmer than it is already.
I said before the season started, I thought it should be pretty warm going into next year if they didn't make the playoff with that schedule just on paper.
Yes.
But, you know, they are college kids. I'm sure everybody around campus told them how great they were this past week. Mm-hmm. We know the media did. Like you said, the media was already penciling them in the playoff. You know, you go into a game, you're four touchdown favorites, you take team lightly, and they punch you in the face, and you don't recover. So I kind of, you know, wonder, you know, I think Marcus Freeman's a good head coach, and I think he will be an even better head coach down the line. I just don't know if he'll be at Notre Dame. It could be one of those cases. The job is just too big for your first head coaching job. And that's a job with high, high, high expectations, whether if they're granted or not. And it's kind of, you know, if it does go south, it's going to remind me a lot of Mike Davis when he took over at Indiana. I mean, he got him to the 02 national championship with Bob Knight's players, and Jerome Brooks is returning a kickoff for a touchdown.
That's right.
In the background. He was a third string running back on that team, and then he transferred somewhere. I don't know, North Texas, maybe. He was fast. But anyways, to where Mike Davis was kind of easy hire for Indiana at the time because the players liked him. He knew the culture, knew the system. Same thing with Marcus Freeman. Whereas maybe if they had a month to sit on it a few years ago, which of course they didn't, but maybe if they did, I don't know if he would have got hired.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so. Yeah, whenever the incumbent leaves, it's kind of tough because then it's like, you know, obviously, like, you know, and leaves, like, for, I mean, like LSU, I mean, again, leaving Notre Dame, it's definitely probably a top, I mean, would you say in top five job in college football? Definitely top 10.
I'd say borderline top five.
Yeah. So it's like, it's hard to get better. I mean, obviously, LSU is, I mean,
yes, right there.
It's one of those SEC schools that, like, obviously they've had consistent winners. They've got the support. It's not like it's Mississippi State or something like that. Or it's
Brian Kelly had done everything he could there. I mean, he made the national championship, made the playoff outside of winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a jerk, but he's a good football coach. I mean, he was darn good at Notre Dame. Easily the best they had since Lou Holtz. So he has
big shoes. I mean, I'm not sure if this is even a thing as much now. Is it probably used to be, but like you do wonder, like maybe with him, is it, you know, obviously academic standards at LSU, I assume, are pretty a little easier compared to Notre Dame.
Yes.
So it's, you know, maybe he think that that was a factor of, like, you know,
sure,
did that maybe keep them from getting certain players? I have no idea. I mean, I feel like when the coach leaves, it's a lot tough because it's not like you can just easily say, get rid of the whole staff because of they were like kind of like with Purdue and Hazel. Like, a lot of us wanted Freeman to stick around, but we knew there was no chance that he was going to be hired on by the new staff. But it's hard to make that when the guy leaves. It's like, okay, you know, not like we're bad. Like, you can, you know, keep the guy who knew the system and the players know already. But it's a good point. Had they had a chance to really sit on it for a while, would they make the same decision again?
Yep. Well, before we kind of switch gears here, let's pay some bills here and talk about one of our sponsors of the podcast. That is Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom has been a proud sponsor of ours for the last couple of seasons. We love having them on board again. And they've been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan or I visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which for the month of September, you got Carl's Spicy Barbecue Chicken Pizza. It's their house-blended spicy barbecue sauce topped with chicken, cup and char, pepperoni, onions, and mozzarella and cheddar cheeses, starting at just $14. So when you're in town on Saturday, stop on by. Tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener and viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And so go enjoy a good pregame meal there, or maybe a victory dinner afterwards.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I realized that my mic was on my AirPods and not my actual microphones.
You are louder now. You are louder okay. now.
But so it's a better mic. It's using my actual good mic, not my AirPod mic. So it's my bad.
Cameron Day, do you think Purdue has a real chance this week? I'm worried about the defense slightly. Spread was 10.5 last I checked. Well, the spreads went down 6.5 or 5.5 points because it was started at 16. Yep. I think Purdue had a chance. I mean, you always have a chance when you play at home and have a ranked team coming in. You got the crowd fired up and everything, and you're relatively healthy. I thought Purdue had a chance before the Northern Illinois, and I think their chances increased after Northern Illinois. I mean, play this game out 10 times, Notre Dame's going to win more times than not, probably, mm-hmm. out of 10 times. But I think the key is Purdue's got to come out and punch them in the face. Yep. Purdue's got to get a lead, get Notre Dame on their heels, let the self-doubt creep in a little bit, let the worrisome creep in a little bit about, oh, God, we can't lose this game. There's no way we get in the playoff if we lose two games, and one of them is to Purdue as well as Northern Illinois. Let that creep in. The last thing Purdue can do is get down 10, or maybe 10, at least 14 points.
Yeah, if it's two scores, if it's two scores, I think it's cooked.
Yep.
No, I really do think there's a chance.
Riley Leonard's coming in banged up. It was reported he hurt his shoulder against Northern Illinois, which I know I saw Purdue fans freaking out, but like, oh, great. Who's the backup that Purdue's going to make a name for the guy for the rest of his career? Because it happened with Montana. It happened. The guy, Gary, starts with G, the famous 2000 game where Breeze and company went up to Notre Dame, or 99 game where Breeze and company, no, it was 2000, where Breeze and company went up there and lost to a tight end made into a quarterback pretty much the week of. By a field goal, 2 points, 3 points. And we've seen Rocky Lombardi, Michigan State, we've seen other instances, but we'll see. I think Purdue will blitz him a lot, hit him a lot. So we'll see if his shoulder can hang up. But yeah, I think if Purdue gets off to a good start, they definitely has a chance. Question for Evan. How's it feel to lose to the worst fantasy football manager this weekend? San Francisco defense is worthless. Tee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
I think I might have that crown, actually. I lost both my fantasy games in Yahoo. I lost one of them by 0.8 points last night.
Ouch.
I'm trying to look at what was the score. Yeah, I lost. I thought I didn't lose as bad as I thought I did. But yeah, fantasy is not something I struggle at. Yeah. But going back to the question, I think there is a chance, a good chance, but especially being at home. It's going to be rocking, especially now. I think, I kind of go back and forth, like, would have been better had Notre Dame, had that number five, number four next to their name. I think now it's almost like, Purdue fans smell blood in the water. I don't know. But also I think you've mentioned this on one of your other podcasts. I think this is a game that Walters and company have been prepping for all summer. Coach speak, they're definitely getting ready for Indiana State, but it's like, I mean, it wasn't like that. We're playing Northern Illinois. It was like Indiana State is not good.
Yeah.
So I think they're able to dedicate a lot of time to how can we, get off to a good start and kind of change the narrative around this team that the media has going, where Purdue is last in the Big Ten, be lucky to win four games sort of thing. So I think the staff will be prepared. So obviously now they can come out and execute.
Well, and Jeff Brohm had his staple Purdue victory in his second year. This is Ryan Walters' first real, real big chance, I would say, a realistic chance to get his first signature victory. And he said it in his press conference with media yesterday. He said he'd be lying if he said this game wasn't circled on his calendar. So he knows what it means. I mean, he grew up with a father playing for Colorado when Colorado beat Notre Dame for the national title. Thank God that's not going to happen this year. Either way, that would just be the worst.
I'm not sure I could watch. Like, I don't know. I hate watch the other team, but it's like, how do you hate watch like my two least favorite teams this year?
Man, awful. That was just awful. But he knows what it means. Players know what it means. And I think Graham Harrell has some tricks up his sleeve.
I hope so.
Whether it's trick plays or some formations we haven't seen. I think we ran pretty vanilla offense for all things considered against Indiana State, which you should be able to do that and still win comfortably, which Purdue did. I do wish that C.J. Smith, wide receiver transfer from Georgia, and Nyland Green, cornerback transfer from Georgia. I wish those guys were suiting up. We were in the belief last week and the week before that they would be. Doesn't sound like they're quite ready. Walter said they're close, but if they're not ready, you don't want to push them. The season, you still got 10 more games after this, so you don't want to
push. If you lose Saturday, it's not like a season's not over. It's right. Like, I'd rather rather have them, you know, lose Saturday than have them come back so we can get a win in Corvallis the following week. So I feel like that's such a huge game, swing game for this season.
So we'd like to have those guys, but Corey Stewart's going to be back. Joe Anderson's going to be back. So they've got some guys healthy. And, you know, as a fan, having the bye week last week kind of stunk. Even though it was nice to sit and watch a lot of college football game day and in Michigan, Texas, and Notre Dame, Northern Illinois, and then Colorado, Nebraska. Enjoyed all those games, really. Who I was rooting for won in all of those. that was nice. It's nice to get the juices flowing again this week. And I'm just glad this game's back on the calendar. Is it Purdue Super Bowl? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It is. Just because it's in state and you know, this is the first of six upcoming matchups for the next 6 years, home and home. I don't know what is going to happen after that.
I mean, Alan Karpik said it perfectly. Like, I mean, a lot of, you know, Purdue's kind of emergence in the college football world stems from beating Notre Dame in certain games. These two teams have been played forever.
Yep.
And there's definitely a lot to me. Obviously Notre Dame has won the vast majority of them. But when Purdue wins, it's pretty noteworthy.
I mean, the first game between these two opponents was in 1896.
Yeah.
And this was a rivalry that dating back every year they played from 1946 through 2014.
Mm-hmm.
That Lucas Oil game being the last one. Now they did play in 2021 up at Notre Dame. Notre Dame was victorious that day 27-13. And why that was a one-off, that was supposed to start a series, and then some scheduling stuff happened, and then they came up with now the six-year series starts now. Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned earlier, the last time Purdue hosted Notre Dame and Rossé, we were both college students at Purdue. Purdue lost 31-24.
It was the Saturday following my 21st birthday.
Yes.
I turned 21 that Wednesday. So.
Oh, I remember that day quite well. historically, the series, like you said, Notre Dame's got a big advantage. Purdue's won 26 times, lost 59 times. There has been two ties. Surprisingly, Purdue has won at Notre Dame Stadium 12 times. Even though the last one's dating 2004, which is playing over my shoulder once again. That was the first time that they had won there since, I'm trying to find the last win in South Bend before 1974.
Wow.
So a lot of the wins in South Bend were early on. As far as playing in Rossé, Purdue is 13-26-2. I've been lucky to witness Purdue beating Notre Dame three times in my life in person. That was an 0-3 home game at Rossade, which Stu Swagger and the best Purdue defense I've seen in my lifetime took care of a freshman named Brady Quinn, making his first career start that day. That defense just pummeled him. Stu had two picks. I don't even remember who the guys were that were getting home and sacking him that day, but it was a little bit of a sack party out of everybody. And then they followed it up with 41-16 win up in South Bend the next year. And then the last time any Purdue fan has seen Purdue beat Notre Dame was 0-7 win over Notre Dame in Rossé Stadium, which the score that day was 33-19. And the score was closer than the game really was. But that was a 3-9 Notre Dame team.
Bad Notre Dame team,
led by Jimmy Clausen. And they're showing highlights from the 0-3 game right behind me. with Brady Quinn just getting pummeled by Landon Johnson.
Landon Johnson. Is that Craig Carroll?
Kudavides. Anthony Spencer and a young Ray Edwards.
I need to go back Ballard and watch clips from that year because obviously we were 10, 11 years old. So and, yeah, just trying to because we're very lucky that the era of Purdue football that we grew up with, obviously, like my first memory is, you know, Drew Brees at a very, very, very young age. And then from there, you know, it was Kyle Orton.
Yep.
And just being like, just, I mean, I've been kind of watching behind you and just like how he just slung the ball.
He had a rocket on the arm, especially in college. Yeah. He was something that year. This
very lucky year. To our formative years were very fun. Yep. Cause I can't imagine. I kind of go back to when we were in school and I wonder how many of our, you know, fellow students who didn't grow up Purdue fans or diehards, like how much do they really care now? Because when we were in school, we sucked.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's tough to, you know, I remember like so many times I tell people like, hey, are you going to the game on Saturday? They're like, I'm going to the tailgate. Why the hell do I go to the game? And I'm like, no, I'm skipping the tailgate. I'm going in as soon as the stadium opens, I'm going to find a spot.
Yep.
To watch Purdue lose to Wisconsin 65-0 in the pouring rain. But yeah, I mean, this has always been a special game. Especially because like, it's, you know, it's early in the year. The weather's awesome typically. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like from where we grew up, it was Notre Dame country. When it comes to football, you know, you know, Monday morning getting ready for school, you know, if Notre Dame won, that's all they talked about. If they lost, they would just
breeze over it, or crying,
or they'd talk about how Purdue lost or something. And it was just so like, it was the level of hatred for Notre Dame runs deep.
Yeah, I would be interested, you know, where I live in Fort Wayne, it's pretty split, I would say, between Purdue and Notre Dame for football and then Purdue and IU for basketball. A lot of reversibles up here. How about Indianapolis? Pretty split.
You know, I feel like I don't see a whole lot of Notre Dame. Maybe I'm just not looking. I mean, maybe it's because like
and they're such a brand nationally. We know that.
Yeah,
but
you kind of see them everywhere. I mean, like I know some Notre Dame fans here, like who grew up Northern Indiana, so it's you know, and they're Catholic, so it always seems to be the thing. Like I remember growing up, and people were like, "Oh, I'm Catholic, so I cheer for Notre Dame." Obviously, and I'm like, "The hell's that to do with it?" Like, I get it now, but at the time I was like, "Okay, cool." Indy's obviously very heavy, Purdue, Indiana, and I feel like, especially because in Indy, you've got a lot of IU grads, so typically, the smart ones, like my wife, which that is one common thing we have is we both hate Notre Dame. Yep. So there's that, but you see a lot of IU football fans around here. So,
Especially this year, especially if Notre Dame trips up again, those reversible fans are going to, we got to get our basketball gear out early this year. Cause now we got another football team to root for.
Yeah.
So, a few more things I want to hit on in the series real quick. The average margin of victory, 16 points. There's been 1,411 total points scored in this series. Smallest margin of victory was a Purdue win, 15-14. And the largest margin of victory in a Purdue win is 36-0 back in 1904. That the one-point win was in 1981. Last 10 matchups, Purdue's fared 1-9. Not very good, and they've lost 8 straight. So,
Was the last of the actual series, was that 14 when they played in Indy and Lucas Oil?
In Indy, and Purdue played a heck of a first half, but got.
I was at that game. Yeah.
And then beaten second half pretty good. 30-14 was the final.
Yeah. My whole family was at that game. Yeah.
Danny Etling was starting that day for the Boilermakers. So, here, I'll give you this is impromptu little trivia. So, what year was the first year you could remember a Purdue Notre Dame game?
I swear by this. My dad, for some reason, can't back it up because I asked him, you know, when we prepped for this podcast, what his favorite Purdue Notre Dame memories were, and this was not one of them, so I'm a little insulted. I swear on my life that my first Purdue game was the 99 Notre Dame game. I remember nothing except watching Notre Dame run out of the tunnel because of just, like, hearing the boos, and I just remember seeing the gold helmets. I don't remember seeing Breeze twirl into the end zone for – or was it a two-point conversion or whatever it was. I swear that's my first Purdue Notre Dame memory. And I swear that was my first game because it was on my birthday. I turned 7. But after that, you know, I don't really remember a whole, like, I feel like I was at the 03 game. Mm-hmm. I can't verify. Memory's not good as yours, but I definitely remember watching 04.
Do you remember 05 at all? Yeah, that was miserable. And, 49-28 Notre Dame. Drummond, we had lost in overtime to Minnesota the week before. Came in, Notre Dame was hot twice. And the big thing I remember was a deep ball is up in the air, and Samardzija's running after it. Jeff Samardzija, who was one of my least favorite Notre Dame players of all time for a lot of different reasons. And the Notre Dame guy next to me, Samardzija, he's yelling when the ball's in the air. Samardzija dives, catches it one-handed. And we just got
that started. Sounds very familiar. Yeah. I remember timeout year.
Oh, yeah.
All too well.
09.
09. The 11 game was my freshman year at Purdue, where good old Turbo.
Yep. Under Gabe Holmes, like 20 yards, first play of the game.
I remember from our vantage point student section, it was like, oh my gosh, great throw. And I was like, oh my God.
Lucky enough to be on the sidelines that game as a first year manager. Yeah. And when he threw that, I saw it come from a mile away. I'm like, oh God. And 2 plays later, Michael Floyd over the top, or Tommy Reese over the top of Ricardo Allen and Michael Floyd. So let's say 03. Can you name Purdue's starting quarterback for that matchup?
Kyle Orton.
04.
Kyle Orton.
05.
So in the 05-06 year, was it Brandon Kearse?
Was Brandon Kearse. Curtis Painter had not taken over yet.
Yep.
06.
Curtis Painter.
07.
Curtis Painter.
08.
Curtis Painter.
09.
Was Curtis Painter, right? No. No.
09, he was graduated.
He was graduated, okay. That's right, yeah, because his freshman year was 05. What year are we on, sorry?
09.
I know it because he busted a huge run at Northwestern, right? Was it? No, I'm thinking Rob Henry.
You are.
But I know we won. We were actually pretty decent his 1 year. Who is it? I'm blanking.
Joey Elliott,
yep.
Led the Big Ten passing that year.
Yeah.
2010. Brian Kelly's first game. It was season opener.
So in my senior year.
My first game as a Purdue freshman, which was pretty cool. My last time at Notre Dame Stadium. I have not been back since, and
you went out swinging.
Fucked off much Notre Dame fans. I'm not very proudly. I got yelled at pretty good by my mom.
2010. Was it Robert Marv?
It was Robert Marv.
Because he dove into the end zone and got a penalty call. Got the
penalty, yes.
Yep, I remember that.
2011.
It was Turbush for some godforsaken reason.
2012.
This
was a heartbreaking 20-17 loss up in South Bend.
2012.
We outplayed them that day, too. That's what sucked by that.
Was it Austin? No, it was not Austin Appleby. No, he was a freshman, though. Was it Sean Robinson?
No,
because he had switched to linebacker by that point. 2012.
We played two quarterbacks, but one started.
Was Rob Henry?
Nope. Caleb Turbush started, and Robert Marv played a lot as well, back and forth.
I forgot that.
And Robert blew his knee out for like the eighth time that game. But
that's right. That's right.
I don't know what Danny Hope and Gary Nord were thinking. Robert led us to a touchdown late in second half, and he had the high hand, and they went right back to Caleb Turbush in second half. I have never understood that to this day. 2013.
That was Rob Henry.
2014.
Danny Etling.
Yep, just talked about that. And 2021.
Oh, so I was like 2015. I was like, we didn't play him. 2021, that was O'Connell.
Jack Plummer.
Oh, my God.
O'Connell unset him like the next
that's
week.
Right. Yep, I think that's kind right. Of yeah.
So, and I was trying in my head to see if I could do the because my earliest memory was the 01 game I went to. It was supposed to be played week that was September 11th. 2001. Yep. So I was actually played Saturday, December 1st after the Bucket game. And I went, that was my first Purdue Notre Dame experience. Notre Dame won 24-18 in Bob Davies' last coach game because he was fired after that game. So I've been to every Purdue game at Ross State since. I've been to Notre Dame Stadium four times, losses in 02, 08 and 2010 and the win in 04. I was trying to think of Notre Dame starting quarterbacks in my head.
Oh, God.
I don't remember 01. 02 might have been Carlisle Holiday, I think.
Well, that's a name wow.
I think. I don't know. He was a receiver 1 year too, so I don't know.
Yeah.
03 and 04 and 05 were Brady Quinn.
Quinn, yep.
I don't. I know 06 was too. Brady Quinn started all four of those years.
I forgot he was a 4 year player.
07 was Jimmy Clausen. 08 was Jimmy Clausen. 09 was Jimmy Clausen. 2010 was Dane Crist. I remember that. 2011 was Tommy Reese. 2012 was Everett Golston. Then they replaced him with Tommy Reese during the game. 2013.
Did we just say it? Because it was.
Was it?
Michael. Well,
it was also Tommy Reese.
Yeah, because he was. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, 2014. I can't think who 14 was.
I'll look it up. I'll look
or
it up.
21. It would have been 21. It would have been before Sam Hartman.
God, who was that guy? He was a good quarterback. I think he went pro, but he was just a solid.
Oh, Ian Book.
Yeah. Yeah.
21, but 14 is escaping me at Lucas Oil.
I'll look it up. Yeah.
But I did better than I thought I would.
It was Golston. Or Golston. Oh,
Every Golston. Before he went to Florida State.
He went 25 for 40 for 259 yards and 2 TDs. He also led them in rushing. 14 carries for 56 yards and a touchdown.
All right. Well, with all that said, before we share our personal favorite memories of the series, we reached out to Boiler Breakdown Nation on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, X, whatever you want to call it, on Instagram, and asked for some favorite memories. On Facebook, we had a few submissions here. Matthew McCoy just shared a picture. This was, I believe, the 97 game. And number seven, I believe, that year was Adrian Beasley walking into the end zone for a defensive touchdown. Chad Colvin said Orton to Stubblefield for the 99-yard touchdown Notre Dame. I was there, which R. Eugene Pritchett said Chad Colvin. So was I at the Bend of South Stadium that day. It was on my birthday. And then let me pull up on Twitter. We had a lot of
on Twitter. Yeah.
Which we appreciate, everybody. Let's see here. It would help if I go to profile. There we go. Let's see here. We had another person sharing Adrian Beasley scoop and score in 97 Tiller's first year. That was from Right Wad Therapist on Twitter. Stubblefield Orton 99 yarder. That was from the original at Boiler Up 02. Vinny Sutherland, Purdue legend Vinny Sutherland, said 97 was the best, 99 wasn't too bad either. Vinny is for both those games, if I'm not mistaken. One of them was the bubble screen, 97. Yep. Tiller showed off the bubble screen. That was the week after the loss at Toledo.
Yep.
Boiler in Ohio at Jimmy J 1426 said the end of the 99 game directly in front of the student section. I don't even think we rushed the field. We were so stunned as the clock ran. Because Notre Dame was trying to spike it, I believe, and ran out.
Okay.
We were down 5. South Bend Clean at Keeper Spike, said, I have literally none since I've never seen Notre Dame or Purdue beat Notre Dame, though I did get it told to sit the F down by Indy Karen for standing and clapping after a big first down play a few years ago.
Oh, God.
The Vortex and Iraq War Story at Thomas Mao. I hope I pronounced your last name right.
I talked to my dad. So I think this is my dad. This is my dad's freshman year of Purdue. It was 1977. Okay. And he tells me this story all the time. I love I can imagine being in the exact same situation as a student where this is the game where they had a quarterback that got knocked out or he got hurt.
Gary Forsythe.
Yeah, because my dad was like, they're starting to celebrate, like, oh, this is awesome. You know, we got them. And then in comes some no-name freshman quarterback named Joe Montana.
Third stringer.
Yeah, so named Joe Montana. And
legend began.
Came and whooped him.
Yeah. Legend began. So, yep. He said 1977 could hear games from home, but rarely went. My dad was a domer, got us tickets, and I was happy to root against him. I was 12, he said. Third quarter, Boilers up 10. Rusty Lish, terrible as their starting quarterback. Gary Forsythe knocked out. Notre Dame down to third string to Joe Montana. Rest of my memory, less good.
That's crazy.
Chris McGovern at GovChrisMac on Twitter. The bus saved my life when he planted his foot, cut, and drove our player upfield for a big gain. Instead of going out of bounds, threw me on a rain-soaked plummeting South Bend. I worked for Purdue football then and covered Rams later. I thanked them for saving my life. He remembered the play.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
You've been stepped on by a Purdue football player. So you know,
thanks,
you
know, short. Busted my toe and my
notably
toe.
Notably small, man.
My toe just literally recovered like 2 years ago. I finally got the nerves going in it again. Pumpkin Shuckers at Pumpkin Shuckers on Twitter shared a he said win one for the drum, and it was the end of the 99 game.
Yep.
Andy at A Strange 83 on Twitter, 97 and 99 home wins. 99 had the Breeze end zone dive, and 97 was my first ever college football game attending and was sitting front row south end zone as a kid and was blown away at the atmosphere and was instantly a fan for life and the reason I went to Purdue for school later in life. Love stories like that. Love that.
I get like emotional thing about it because like it's the exact same thing of like I remember because one of my we can get into our personal anecdotes. One of my favorite games, even though we lost, was 2011, just because that was my first game as a student. Mm-hmm. Because again, like Andy and so many other people, like I grew up going, I was lucky enough to go to games thanks to my dad. And being able, you know, sitting right across, you know, the side opposite the student section, like I it was the same way for basketball, like just like dreaming of hopefully one day being a part of something like that. And so being able to finally be there in 2011, even though we lost, was like pretty surreal because it was just like, I'm a student at Purdue, the school I've been dreaming of going to, and we're playing Notre Dame. And it was a night game. So it was just like, It was just incredible.
Yep.
For a little bit.
Thad Moody on Facebook, that 2001 was one of the coldest games to attend. The fire Davy chant back and forth from each side of the stadium made it worth it. Yeah, because Purdue fans were yelling it too. It was kind of surreal. Yes, but Evan, besides the 11, the start of the 11 game, any other memories that stick out to you?
Mean, 04 is so hard to beat because just like, I don't really remember 03 that much, but I just remember being at home. I don't know if my dad was home because I feel like he wasn't. I don't know if he had to work that Saturday or whatever it was. I remember just like watching that game and just being like, holy crap. Like it kind of feels like thinking back now, kind of very similar to 2018 Ohio State of just like, what is going on? Like, how are we, like we are destroying, you know, the team I hate the most of anything. And just, yeah, like the stubble field play was incredible. And just like, yeah, just, I mean, again, Saturdays of being a kid and just like just being so excited that Purdue beat Notre Dame and just couldn't wait to go to school on Monday to see all the annoyed Notre Dame fans. Like I said, 2011 was fun just because, again, it was my first time as a student. Those are the ones that stick out the most for sure.
Yeah, I got quite a few memories. A lot of them are in losses, unfortunately. I don't remember the 0-1 that well or anything. I remember being there, but I don't remember any plays that stuck out. 0-2 was my first experience at Notre Dame. We had
that's one because I've not been to a game of. I want to.
You need to get up there next year.
Yeah,
I'll go with you. It's been 14 years. Next year will be 15 years. It's been long enough for me. It's an uncomfortable stadium. It's very crowded with wooden bleachers, but at least last time I was there was, unless you pay high money and have the nice seats. But anyways, 0-2, I remember going. We had the ugly white jerseys with the gold numbers that nobody could see, especially where we were sitting. I remember Anthony Chambers had a punt return touchdown. That was pretty cool. 0-3, remember going to that game, actually sitting on the visitor side, which besides being a student, I had never done. Or I still haven't done to this day at a Purdue game. Just remember Purdue's defense teeing off of Brady Quinn. 04, my dad got tickets from a coworker who at the time who was she went to Notre Dame, and her parents are big time season ticket holders. We literally were second row in the end zone that Taylor Stubblefield ran into.
So you can see yourself in the when they show the replay or whatever, you can see yourself.
Yes, yes. Stubblefield ran into that end zone. That was unreal. And we had some Purdue fans around us. That was a lot of fun. 05 was miserable. 06 wasn't there. Don't even really remember much about it on TV. 07, I remember sitting next to you, and I remember Dustin Keller having a touchdown and us beating Jimmy Clausen. 08, I was there. I remember Chris Summers missed the field goal. Place went nuts when he missed it early in the game, and it just felt like Painter threw a pick six. I remember that was like the loudest stadium I'd ever been in when he threw pick six. The game went downhill from there. 09, we've talked about the stinking. Even though Jason Taylor had a sweet touchdown to take the lead on a wheel route. 10, my first game as a Purdue student, the Robert Marr flip, and Ryan Kerrigan was a beast that day. Yep. 11, we've talked about. 12, I was not there. It was at Notre Dame. I was a student, but I was a manager, but I wasn't traveling. I was actually in Denver, Colorado that day. 13, I remember giving them a fight, losing. 14, don't remember much about the Lucas Oil game. And in 21, a couple years ago, I remember Jeff Brohm tried to run a reverse on fourth down from midfield with Mershon Rice. No, not Mershon Rice. It was Wright. What was Wright's first name?
Milton
Wright. Yep. And we didn't get it, and the momentum flipped. David Bell got hurt later in the game, took a nasty. Yeah.
Kyle Hamilton.
Yep. Yeah. So a lot more bad memories, I guess, than good, but it's a fun series, and I'm glad it's back, and I can't wait till Saturday.
Yeah, it's funny. The last time I saw a pre-play in Rossay, I guess her name was 2013. It was about Saturday. I turned 21, I think, on like a Wednesday or something. So I had some was busy for a couple days. Wasn't feeling great Saturday. Had an accounting exam on Monday. Did not do well. And it was just again. It was the start of the Hazel era. So it was kind of a rough start. I'm expecting a pretty awesome crowd.
Yeah.
And probably the fullest the stadium will have been that Marcus Freeman will see since probably that game.
Yep. Yep. No doubt.
Yeah.
So let's go around the Big Ten before we end it and eventually predict our score, spicy take and all that. Around the Big Ten this weekend, Wisconsin's got a tough home matchup. Number four, Alabama comes rolling into Camp Randall as a 16-point favorite. I think Alabama covers. I have not been impressed by Wisconsin.
No, I need to text. I meant to text my former coworker rep, he went to Valpo, but he's a Wisconsin football fan, Marquette basketball fan, which I'm not sure how that works. But he texted me during their game against Western Michigan that Purdue would beat Wisconsin, and I said I will believe it when I see it because I think at this point it's never going to happen ever again. Never. So I'm assuming he is not feeling great about this game. I don't know, unless like Camp Randall can have some magic. I think Alabama. Yep. Kind of, especially after struggling against South Florida, I think DeBoer and the boys come in and whoop them. Mm-hmm. Which a couple years ago when this game was announced, it was like, oh my god, this is going to be incredible. Yeah. So like, it could be, top 15 matchup, and ugh.
Not so much. Arkansas State 23.5-point underdogs at number 17 Michigan. Michigan's got a role in this one. They did not. Michigan looked more like a 7-5, 8-4 team, whereas Texas looked like a legit championship contender.
Yeah. Granted, Michigan lost a ton of dudes to the pros, but still, like usually a school like that, usually it's just it's never a rebuild. It's always a reload. Yep. But new quarterback, new coach. Huge.
Which going back to the Mike Davis comparison, that could be with him too. I don't know. Absolutely. Time will tell.
Yeah. I think Michigan has, I think they cover that 23.5. I think they, take their frustration out.
Central Michigan at Illinois is a 20-point favorite. Illinois knocked off number 19 Kansas and is knocking on the doorstep as the 26th team right now in the rankings.
I think Illinois covers. I think Northern Illinois has a bye this week, so I think they take Northern Illinois has 1 week of being ranked and can't even get a chance to back it up, and Illinois takes their spot, or at least takes like 23-22 and bumps some people down.
Well, Northern Illinois plays Buffalo next week, and then they travel to NC State, which that's another test for them there. I think Illinois wins and becomes halfway to bowl eligibility. So Nevada at Minnesota. Minnesota's a 16.5-point favorite. They took care of business of Rhode Island after losing to North Carolina in week one. I think Minnesota wins pretty easily.
I think so too.
The Apple Cup, Washington State at Washington. Washington's a 4.5-point favorite. I am going against the Big Ten in this one, taking Washington State. They want to make a statement to all the conferences that overlooked them.
Respect that. I'm still going to take Washington.
It wouldn't shock me at all.
Sidebar. Yep. I saw a video, I think the Big Ten Network posted today. It was like the coaches at Big Ten Media talking about like the best player they've ever coached. NFL player they've ever coached, current player. And there was like four coaches. I was like, and it was like four or five coaches. I was like, I don't know who the hell this guy is. it wasn't for the pin. I was like, oh, that's Washington's coach. Yeah. That's Michigan State's new coach, which he looks interesting. Smith.
Yeah. And Jeff Fish is Washington's coach.
Yeah. But there was like a couple guys. I was like, if you would have showed me that guy, yeah. I was like, okay,
yep.
Who is that? But Washington's coach is one of those guys. I was like, I never knew who the guy looked like. I know what their basketball coach looks like, obviously, because pretty played them in the tournament. But
well, Washington's coach, he's brand new from Arizona. So
okay,
yeah, Jed Fish.
Nah, I'm gonna take the Huskies.
Yep. Prairie View A&M. I didn't know they had a football team till yesterday. At Michigan State. Michigan State had a good win at Maryland. Michigan State rolls in this one.
Yeah, not even a line on this game.
Nope. Civil War, number 9, Oregon, who has struggled the first 2 weeks, but they're 2-0 at Oregon State. Oregon's a 16-point favorite. I think they take care of the Beavers in this one.
Yeah, it's kind of a game that Purdue fans should actually kind of pay attention to, just to kind of see how Oregon State handles this game. Obviously, being that we play there next weekend.
8:30 on CW.
Yep. Yeah, this obviously games are on the exact same time. So I know we'll be scoreboard. No,
I thought it was, but that's third quarter. It hasn't happened yet.
I know we'll be scoreboard watching within Ross State for this game, but I think Oregon rolls in this one.
Troy at Iowa, who's 22-point favorites. Iowa with a shocking loss with how it happened to Iowa State.
I honestly didn't even watch. I didn't even know what happened.
Iowa State went down the field. I think it was either 24, 22 seconds left. Went down the field with no timeouts, got in field goal range, and hit a game winner. Nailed a long one. Yeah, on Iowa defense, which doesn't allow.
How very Iowa of them to win it with special teams. Yep. Iowa.
Yep.
They roll.
Yep. Indiana coming off record program points performance, putting up 77 against the worst football team I've ever seen. Western Illinois, who hadn't won a game since 2021. They are 3-point favorites on the road to UCLA, who's only 1-0 because they scraped out a win at Hawaii week one, then had a bye week last week.
Unfortunately, I'm taking the Hoosiers. And
I'm right there with you.
Get ready for a very legitimate chance of Indiana starting out 6-0.
Yeah.
As you said in our group chat, I mean, they're good. They have Charlotte coming up. They have
Maryland at home.
Maryland at home Northwestern. At Northwestern. So
then they host Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yep.
So get ready for a 6-0 Indiana people. So just
God. If I, you, and Nebraska are both on feet, that's gonna be game day, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I think it's their homecoming too.
Oh my god.
Because I might end up going with my wife. I don't know. I haven't decided. I'm trying to understand what's going
on. You can wear red that day. Nebraska red.
You'd rather drink cyanide.
I don't think I own a red shirt. I used to own I do. I own one work polo that they. It was the work polo that once a year they choose one for everybody to have. And last year was red. So I had to wear it at 6 different events we had. And I got made fun of by people every time. I'm like, this year's black and white. So
yeah, there you go.
Three more here. Eastern Illinois at Northwestern. Even though I don't think Northwestern's good, they lost to Duke last week in double overtime. Tony Romo and Sean Payton aren't walking through that door for Eastern Illinois. So I'm taking
I think, is this the play? Sorry, turn around.
It might be. I think might it be. Is. No.
Nope.
Yeah, it might be upcoming, though.
Yeah.
The Audible's at the line.
Yeah. Northwestern, they're horrible, but Eastern Illinois is worse.
Northern Iowa, who's a good FCS team, at number 23, Nebraska, who I don't like Nebraska, but they did the God Lord's work and took care of Dion and the boys on Saturday. So.
Yeah, Nebraska's rolling. I think, again, Purdue fans need to be ready for an undefeated Nebraska coming in on the 28th for homecoming because they look good. They look good. Matt Rhule is a program builder, and with the backing that he has at Nebraska, the Scott Frost era is going to be left in the dust pretty quickly.
Yep. Yep. And kind of intriguing one here. Maryland, who, like I said, lost at home to Michigan State, 2.5-point favorites on the road at 2-0 Virginia. I'm kind of surprised that Virginia is not favorites here.
Yeah. I'm going to take Virginia, the Hoos.
I will take Virginia as well. So, yeah, top 25 matchups, we'll just do a couple here. Wildcats versus Wildcats Friday night, number 20 Arizona at number 14 Kansas State, who's a 7.5-point favorite. That's pretty good.
Very solid Friday night game. I guess I'll take Kansas State because of the home team.
I will too. Did not have this one on my bingo card as a ranked matchup in week three. Well, from one team. Number 24, Boston College at number 6, Missouri, who's a 17-point favorite. Look at Bill O'Brien out there.
Bill O'Brien. Yeah. I honestly forgot that Mizzou was ranked that high.
That's pretty impressive, to be honest.
Yeah. I've got a lot of my company's based in St. Louis, so there's a lot of Mizzou people there. Yep. I'll be going there next month. So if they keep going, that'll be interesting to see, because I know they have also got some Tennessee Vols who work on our company. And I'll just watch them fight, have a stupid fight. Give him a zoo.
Yep. I think this is College Game Day, number 16 LSU, 7-point favorite at 2-0 South Carolina, who just took a 2 at Kentucky on the road. Yeah. So far, Beamer's saving his job.
Surprised they're not ranked South Carolina, but give me LSU. It'll be a hostile environment, but give me LSU
as well. And all the rest, I think, are going to be blowouts by the top 25.
Godspeed to Ball State as they travel down. At least, I mean,
nice
weather down there. I mean, I guess
that's true.
That would be nice this weekend.
Yeah, the hurricane should be passed, right? And then
maybe. Think, I don't know.
I don't know.
There's not a whole lot of Godspeed to UTSA against Texas. I think Georgia whoops on Kentucky. Yeah, and Tennessee looks really freaking good with Nico, their quarterback. He's looks really, really good.
Yep. Well, before we make our predictions, our score predictions and our spicy bowl predictions and all that good stuff, Webby, why don't you let everybody know where they can get some great Purdue merch to wear to Ross Aid on Saturday or wear after a victory?
Yeah, that would be the shop. The shop has been bringing hometown apparel to the fans since 2011. They started out in garages. Now they've got 3 retail locations in the Indianapolis area. They've got one downtown. They've got one in the Broad Ripple area, and they've got one in the Carmel area. So if you're in the Indianapolis metropolitan area, check them out. Actually, today they had I was downtown. I was really close to their downtown location, and they had a quick flash sales, like 30% off everything between 11 and 1. And I literally, I was working and I got out and it was like 12:57. I'm like, I'm not gonna make it. I was pretty mad. I was because I wanted to go see if they had their new, they released a whole slew of simple logo tees. The pretty one's black gulp motion P just looks clean, crisp. I really want it because it's sold out online right now. So I wanted to see if the retail stores had it I wanted to wear it this weekend. Nevertheless, I did not make it. But if you want to go check out, they've got anything. They've got most of Indiana University except for the one that Purdue's playing on this weekend because they're stuck up punks.
Yes.
But if you're an Indiana fan, Ball State fan, Indiana State fan, Purdue fan, obviously, Wabash, they've got some awesome stuff for the Battle of the Bell. Even Ohio State now get a Buckeye in your life. No. They've got licensed apparel for them. So it's official, it's knockoff stuff. I've got the Script Purdue drink glass that I've been for a couple of years.
Football hat.
All things Indiana. It's really cool. They always come out with new stuff. They're huge with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and 500 and Indianapolis Indians doing some cool stuff with the Fever. Who have been lighting it up and in the playoffs now, going from worst team to now making the playoffs is pretty incredible. But if you're online, Christmas is coming. It's crazy. we are about almost three months away. If you go online at theshopindy.com, you can use promo code breakdown. You get 25% off and you can use it more than once.
Can't beat it.
They're always running deals, whether it's free shipping, 20% off, 50% off. They've always got something going on. But if for some reason they don't have something going on, use our promo code breakdown to get 25% off your entire order. Really comfortable shirts. They fit really well. Super soft, super comfortable. They got sweatshirts, hats, all stickers. I got a Play Hard sticker behind me if you're watching, for Gene Cady. And yeah, they're been a partner for us for a couple of years now, and I love them.
Yep. Yep. They've been great partner of ours. And Purdue owned. Yeah. And Purdue owned, even better. So, all right, before we give our final score predictions, I want your spicy bowl prediction for Saturday's game against the Irish.
Terry and Grant, player of the game.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. I like it. I like it.
Dealing Green outs. You know, yeah. Terry and Grant played. You know, he's got one game under his belt. Five-star kid. You know, high profile. You know, primetime, essentially primetime game coming in. Like, hopefully, you know, when he plays best and the light shine brightest. So, if there's ever a game, do it now.
Throughout the history of this rivalry, a lot of these games are decided by a big special teams play. Purdue will have a special teams touchdown. I'm going to leave it at that. It could be a kick return, a punt return, a punt block, or field goal block. They will have a special teams
touchdown. Hope they're watching the Bears on Sunday.
Yep. Yeah, the Broncos had special team stuff go their way, and then they just couldn't score. That's a podcast for another day. But, yeah, special teams touchdown out of the Boilers. They're due. With that said, Webby, score prediction. Purdue is 10-point dogs of my app. I've seen 10.5 on others, but I want a score prediction.
Boilers 28-24.
All right.
Notre Dame has the ball at the end of the game to a chance to
throw up. I will throw up.
Yeah, same.
My wife will just be covering both of our puke. In our role, it won't be good, but that's all right. Yeah, she's never experienced this rivalry, so it's gonna be interesting.
I apologize to Mrs. Lee in advance.
Yeah, yeah, we literally, because we are going on vacation next week. Spoiler alert: Webby will be joined by a different co-host next week. It won't be me. And originally, she wanted to leave Friday or Saturday. I said, I am not. So we are flying out early Sunday morning instead. Hopefully it'll be worth it. Hopefully. Yeah. I know yesterday on my other podcast, I picked against Purdue. We got kind of a friendly competition of confident points with the Big Ten. So I have to be really smart because I usually lose. And my other friend just won't let me hear the end of it when he wins. Yep. So as Kyle Orton just threw a touchdown to a defensive lineman, I think it was Rob Ninkovich. No, Rob Ninkovich wasn't there yet. I don't know who 93 was that year. Anyways, maybe it wasn't Ninkovich. Whatever. Besides the point, getting off track. I'm taking the Boilers as well. Man, I want to say in the 30s, but I don't think they can score that much against the defense.
I also forgot, sidebar, before we had names in the back of our jerseys at that point.
Yeah.
That was a big deal when we did that.
Yeah, Danny Hope did that. Was the first
was
one.
Was it Danny? I guess I thought it was.
Teller never did.
Huh.
Man, I don't think. I'm going to go 27-17 Purdue.
Okay.
Double-digit win. Yep.
Man. If – is there a field rush?
I'm glad you're asking because I wanted to ask. Yeah. I want to say no, but I think there will be.
Yeah.
Students.
Yeah.
Which I'm all about students having fun.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, they did just lose to Northern Illinois, which Northern Illinois could be great. We don't know. You know, but we don't.
I went 5-7 my first year with them, so they're already doing way better than me.
Yeah, they did better at South Bend than you did.
Yeah, by a long shot. Yeah.
I gave up the same fight with Western Michigan at Columbus as they did in real life. Yeah. So, but I beat Wisconsin. They did not. So yeah, it's gonna be fun at Ross State. If you see us at Ross State, come say hi. Love to chat it up with you. But thanks everybody for listening and tuning in. And if you're a subscriber on our YouTube channel, if not, you should be. If you are, be on the lookout as after we click in stream here, we're going to be recording a quiz, a Purdue football quiz. So it's going to be a YouTube exclusive. So make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. We'll probably start doing more of those as football season and basketball season winds on this year. We like to have fun with those. So maybe they'll turn into a Facebook/YouTube exclusive. I don't know.
Tanner quizzes me and I do no prep beforehand. Just
Did fine last week. So, yeah. Last week or 2 weeks ago. So with that said, Webby, let's boiler up, hammer down. BTFI,
BTFI. Roller up.